This is the week for Greg Williams to prove to everybody that he deserves to be in the running for this job. And this is the week for Freddie Kitchens to prove everybody. It's basically prove it week. I think that's what we should call this week, gentlemen. I think we just figured this out. It's prove it week. It's the Buckeyes need to prove it to us that they belong in the college football playoff by beating up on Northwestern. It's prove it week for the Browns because this is their top tier opponent. And it's prove it week for the Indians because the trade that they just pulled off cannot be the end of the conversation. They need to prove to us more that they're going to do more. They need to prove to us that they're going to do more. And they're going to prove to us they're getting better. A man who's already proved it to us that he is as good as they come, he is Doug LaMaurice of Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, my friend. How have you been?
I've been well. It's been an interesting season.
Oh, boy, has it. All right. Let's start with the Buckeyes, and then we'll move to the Browns, okay?
Sure.
What do the Buckeyes have to do to get in?
Root for Oklahoma to lose.
Okay.
That's the noon game, Oklahoma-Texas, Big 12 championship. I just don't think the way the committee chairman talked about Ohio State and Oklahoma Tuesday night, I just don't believe that Ohio State can do anything on the field to pass Oklahoma if Oklahoma wins. I think they like Oklahoma better. Texas is higher ranked than Northwestern. They think Oklahoma has played a tougher schedule. They're enamored with Oklahoma's historic offense, the Purdue loss. Isn't going away, and if beating the number four team in the country by 23 couldn't do it, I just think it's not close enough the way he talked about it. I don't think it's close enough for this weekend to matter if Oklahoma wins. Now, I've been wrong all the time with the playoff committee, so I could be wrong again. So maybe a 59-0 win will get them there, but if I'm an Ohio State fan, I would not be counting on that. I would be rooting really hard for Texas.
Okay, so let's play a fun scenario game, all right? You ready? I'm going to put you on the spot here, Doug.
Okay.
If Ohio State shellacks Northwestern and Oklahoma just barely squeaks out a win to Texas, let's say it's overtime, is it still Oklahoma?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. If Georgia beats Alabama, does Ohio State get in?
If Georgia beats Alabama, Ohio State is further away from the playoff because then neither Oklahoma nor Ohio State is getting in.
Okay. So you think Bama's in no matter what?
I think Bama's in no matter what. I don't think they're going to have a team number one the whole year in a world where one-loss teams are getting in, and then Alabama loses to a top four team. It's their only loss. They're a one-loss team. They've been clearly number one. I don't think they drop them out. I think they put them in, and the SEC gets two. So, again, Ohio State fans need to root for Bama today.
I think you're 100% right. I think Ohio State fans need to root for Bama. I think they need to root for Texas. I think we all become citizens of Austin. I think let's just all go get some barbecue and enjoy the game.
Yeah, it's a weird world because, again, I was telling Ohio State fans all year, you need to root for Michigan because you need Michigan to be as good as possible. So if you beat them, that win really matters, right? So that's the world. It's a world of strange bedfellows because you're building up your resume and need other things to happen. So, yes, Ohio State fans have been rooting for Michigan, now root for Alabama and Texas. That's the world.
Yeah, it's a bizarre world, but that's where we are. Doug LaMaurice at Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer join us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, Doug, let's head up 71 to Berea. So how big is this game for the coaching candidacy of Greg Williams?
Man, I am trying to not get wrapped up in it because I just can't believe that in the great big world of coaching candidates, who would want to come here to coach a young roster with talent, with cap space, and with a franchise quarterback, that Greg Williams is the right guy. So I understand the question. I hope it doesn't matter at all because I hope it's not going to be Greg Williams no matter what. So it's no offense to Greg Williams, but I just do not think there's any way that he's the best guy for the job. There are other people out there who have had more success or are, you know, young risers in the profession that are going to have more success that I don't want people, especially John Dorsey and the Haslams, to be prisoners of the moment because Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson were so incompetent and their egos got in the way in such a way that now just competence by Greg Williams looks like, oh my gosh, he's the guy. So I don't even want to think about it, because of course it'd be great for the Browns to go beat Deshaun Watson today. But if it gets the Browns to a point where they come back next year with Greg Williams as the head coach and Freddie Kitchens as the offensive coordinator, and they didn't even really look at all the other people who might be out there, I think that's a lose for the franchise. So I'm very, I'm not worried about it, but I just hope people don't get caught up in the excitement of now and close their eyes to what's out there. That's a long answer, but
Doug, I've been screaming it all morning. It. I've had the same answer for an hour.
Okay.
So,
right, because I wrote a thing a couple weeks ago. It's this shadow of Hughes' incompetence that the next guy is going to look so much better compared to Hugh because he was so awful. But that doesn't mean that Greg Williams is the answer. And it's no offense to Greg Williams. But please, Browns, keep your eyes open to real outside candidates who are going to want this job.
That is 100%. I've started calling it the Jim Morrison theory. Off of L.A. Woman, there's a great song of, I've been down so damn long that it looks like up to me. And that's what I feel like the Browns are with Greg Williams. Is here's this guy that comes in and has moved it from horrible to decent. And now we're all doing backflips because we finally have decent.
Yeah.
Aim higher than decent.
And I hope it's not a world, you know, I don't think it should be a world where Browns fans should be like secretly rooting for the Browns to lose today to prove, right? You know what I mean? You don't want to. But I just hope John Dorsey, and I do have belief in that John Dorsey and the Haslams have a bigger view of it, that they're not going to go down that road. And it's not a great comparison, but I've said when Luke Fickell took over for Jim Tressel at Ohio State, even if Luke Fickell had won the national championship in 2011, I don't think he would have been the right guy. It was you're an interim. You're there to fill a gap. But then when Urban Meyer came, no matter what Luke Fickell did, Urban Meyer was the answer. No matter what Greg Williams does, I think it may be the case that, you know, Lincoln Riley or John DeFilippo or Mike McCarthy or somebody else is the answer, just because no matter what, Greg Williams isn't.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Greg Williams is a wonderful babysitter. I don't want him raising my children.
And if they want to keep him on as defensive coordinator, great.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think he should be their head coach.
I'm 100% with you, Doug. All right, what do the Browns have to do to beat the Houston Texans on Sunday?
You know, I mean, I do think it's a great test for this young defense, right? Because Deshaun Watson is great, but when they're decently healthy and they have, you know, Demaryius Randle and Jabril Peppers and Denzel Ward and Joe Schobert and these guys on the field, they should not fear any quarterback. And so as long as Myles Garrett and those guys get at least a little bit of pressure on Deshaun Watson, and it's always with guys like this, you can't let them turn, you know, the defense makes a good play, gets pressure, and then Deshaun Watson does something crazy and escapes pressure and makes a throw. They have to, you know, contain him in the moments when he could be on the move. I think as long as they do that, they have a chance, because I do think this defense, when healthy, gives you a chance against almost any offense. And then Baker's going to be Baker. And here's the thing, though, too. I think Baker's going to have a bad game again at some point, right? I mean, his ascendance is not going to be a straight line. I don't think he's going to finish the season with whatever it is, 6 more perfect games. So you have to be prepared for him to have a rough game here or there. But I'm really watching the defense, because I think this is a good test for them against a very good young quarterback.
I'm in the same boat with you there. I mean, what Baker's been doing so far has been unbelievable. He's got 9 touchdowns and 1 interception in his last 3 games. Now, he's also faced some really bad defenses in those 3 games, but you play the schedule that's in front of you. So he's going to have his hiccups. He's going to have his problem, and you shouldn't lose faith in it or anything like that. And this one does, and the reason is that left tackle spot with Greg Robinson and having to see either Jadeveon Clowney or J.J. Watt staring him down the barrel, it just scares me, man. That's a scary situation.
And that's the thing, and I hope everybody can get to this point where the Browns, where I still think maybe we are there, where everyone's hanging on week to week so much. Because like you said, it's been so down for so long, everything matters so much. But like Drew Brees just had a lousy game, right?
Yeah.
Like people have rough games. And if they lose to the Texans, and I think they are going to lose to the Texans, if they lose to the Texans, it's like not a setback for the franchise. Sometimes you lose, right? So, I mean, I think everyone, both with the good and the bad, I think we have reached the point with the Browns where you have to be able to evaluate them as a normal NFL team, which fans have not been able to do basically for two decades. And a normal NFL team, what happens on an individual Sunday does not determine the future of the franchise, good or bad. So hope they win. If they don't, it's not the end of the world. Hope they win. If they do, it doesn't mean Greg Williams is supposed to be your head coach.
I'm 100% with you. We're in lockstep, man. All right, last question for you. I got to throw you an Indians question real fast. What do you think of the Yan Gomes trade yesterday?
I think I 100% agree. Let's stay in lockstep.
I like this.
I agree with what you said coming in. It has to be the first step of something. And here's the thing. If you didn't think, and teams have done this before, if you didn't think that what you had last year, it was good, right? It was good. If it really wasn't going to beat the Red Sox and the Astros and the Yankees, and what it wasn't going to do what you had to do to win a World Series, then you have to try. Then you have to try different. Because if they came back with basically the exact same team and had the exact same season where they won their division, they had a good record, but they clearly are the fourth best team in the American League, why would you do that again? So I think, of course, this is just the start, but I completely agree with the risk of changing something that's good in the pursuit of great, even if it doesn't work. Even if it makes you worse, what would the point have been coming back exactly the same? Because exactly the same was just going to get you 91 wins and a first-round loss. So I think it's the start of something, and I think it's smart.
I'm 100% with you. I think it's the start of something. We won't know the return until 2 years from now, but if they walk in the door with this being one of the few moves that they made and the others being, you know, okay, let's take a lotto ticket here, a lotto ticket there, then we're going to have problems. But if this turns into, okay, now we have financial flexibility that we can go out and maybe talk to a Marwin Gonzalez, or we can go out and maybe get in the conversation for AJ Pollock, then I'm in hook, line, and sinker.
And you know, I'm still in on trading, maybe, you know, the idea of trading one of these starters because they've had a tremendous rotation and did it get them far enough? And you don't, especially, they have to think about the playoffs with these moves. You don't need five great starters in the playoffs, you know? Like, you need two and a half.
Yeah.
So I'm in, and I don't think it's the window closing. We've all been obsessed with this window closing. How long is the Indians' window open? I think as long as Lindor and Ramirez are here, their window is open to a great degree. So I don't think it's the window closing. I think it's reshuffling the furniture in the house to keep the window open. So I think I'm fine with that.
I'm 100% with you. He's Doug LaMaurice of Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. Thank you so much for joining me, Doug. This was excellent.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime, man. Anytime. That's Doug LaMaurice of Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. Join us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It was pointed out to me by the lady friend, the only two-time guest of this program, the only guy we've had on so far twice. And spoiler alert, we're probably going to have Doug on a third time because I like talking to him. He agrees with me. And B, he's smart. He makes me smarter when I listen to Doug talk. So 216-578-0092.